You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Alistair Jones with you on the latest edition, and we're looking ahead to Sunday's racing. We've got action at Fontwell and Sedgefield domestically. Good racing over in Ireland as well to look forward to. You can hear it all on Racing Radio, where we've got the same team on Sunday as we have on Saturday, I believe. Gordon Brown, Alistair Jones and John O'Connell. Mr Jones, how's Saturday been so far?
It's been a right barrel of laughs, yeah.
Has
and
it?
Excellent racing to entertain us.
We're recording this at 3:15, so we are pre Cleve Hurdle, which will be reflected on tomorrow's podcast. But we are just going to look back at a few standout contenders from what we've seen while it's fresh in our memory, on what has been a very busy Saturday so far. We've just literally, as we started recording this, seen Lady Buttons clamber over the line at Doncaster. Although she may have clambered over the line, she's good, isn't she?
Yeah, you can set your clock by her. Lovable mare, brilliant jumper of fences, but a good bit of place in there to come back over hurdles and secure further black type.
Yes.
Plenty to like, nothing not to like about that mare.
And there's nothing not to like about Frodon, who must be in everyone's sort of top five favourite horses that are running right now.
Yeah.
Because you just can't dislike him.
No, he's only seven as well, which is hard to believe. It's as though he's been around for years. And yeah, him and Bryony Frost have, you know, got a great relationship. And I don't think he'll win a Gold Cup. I think their hand is forced now, I guess. If they've now they've won this, that was the plan. If they won, they were going to test for stamina today over what is near enough the Gold Cup trip.
Mm.
I don't think it was lack of stamina that was the cause of him tiring late on. I just think he got lonely, because actually when Elegant Escape came again late on, he actually found a little bit more.
It's interesting. I was watching it in the William Hill TV studio with Stephen Powell, and he just went, he's idling, it's fine. And I was less convinced to start with.
But he was, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, the Gold Cup's a whole new... It's very difficult to dominate like the way he does in a Gold Cup. I can't think of a Gold Cup. Last Gold Cup winner to Makel, did Denman Makel when he won it?
Coney Gray,
but it's hard.
Yeah.
It's a real, you know, not many do. And he'll run well, finish fifth or sixth, I suppose, in the big one. But he's a lovable thing, and today maybe was his Gold Cup.
What about Elegant Escape? A horse that we know stays further.
It'd be interesting in the Gold Cup. He can jump better than he did today.
Yeah.
His jumping was a bit clumsy. The ground wasn't soft enough. If it came up soft, testing ground in March, he'd be very interesting, because he will stay. And he was placed in the RSA behind. Obviously, if you make a case for him, then you're making an even stronger case for Presenting Percy, of course, who beat Elegant Escape in last year's Novice Championship. But I like Elegant Escape. I think he's got Grand National written all over him. Really do. Whether he's well enough handicapped to win that race is another matter.
Yeah.
But I think that is the ideal race for him.
What else were you impressed by on Saturday?
I was impressed with Kildasart in the novice handicap chase, because we said before the race that if there's... Remember the David Bridgewater horse used to run in the Gold Cup every year.
Giant Bolster.
The Giant Bolster. My mind went blank. It's old age. The Giant Bolster won that novice handicap chase a few years back, absolutely thrown in off something like 10-8 or something, and obviously went on to be a Gold Cup horse. And we were saying before the race, if there's one horse in that race with real potential not to be a Gold Cup horse, but to really progress through the ranks, Kildasart was the horse with his potential. And he was absolutely thrown in today to win as he did, despite jumping awful. I mean, his best two jumps were the last two fences. But at the top of the hill, he was 100-1 shot for me. He literally clambered over two fences at real hot parts of the race as well. So to win as he's done, I thought was highly impressive. He'll need to sort his jumping out, but that horse has got an engine.
And we've got now a 7-1 joint favourite for the Triumph Hurdle, which is a notoriously difficult race to call even on the day. But in Fakir Dudaree, you've got a live contender there for Joseph O'Brien, because he skipped clear of a field I thought was pretty moderate before the race. I was a big fan of the favourite today, actually, Ajali, who was, on the one hand, a little disappointing. On the other hand, I think he's sort of run as well as I thought he would. I just thought he'd have enough to win.
Yeah.
And as it's happened, this one could be considerably better than the rest of the field.
Yeah, we did say in the studio we thought he was vulnerable, the favourite, with the extra weight. I didn't rate that the Chepstow form, the grade one. For grade, you know, yes, it's good form, but grade one form?
Yeah.
Not sure. And I just felt there was an air of vulnerability about him trying to give weight away to quite a few unknown quantities in that race. And you know, the Fakir du Derry was obviously unbeaten in one run for Joseph O'Brien, came from France, won at, I think it was Cork, was it?
Yes, yeah.
Won his maiden, nothing not to like today. What he did do was jump his rival silly. He was given a no-nonsense ride by JJ Slevin, and won with a lot in hand. And I'll tell you now, in Triumph Hurdles, jumping counts for a lot. You know,
and it's great to see a horse power up the Cheltenham Hill as well, when they've not really been asked for an effort until the last.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they go. That said, the winning distance will have been exaggerated by the fact that the others were tiring and whatever. I'm not convinced I'd want to be back in it for the Triumph, but it still hasn't done anything wrong. But, you know, you just think, I still think it's got plenty more to prove still.
I just think, yeah, when something looks too good to be true, more often than not, it is.
Yeah.
And I just think, is he... I think a few of those behind had off days. The runner-up, Fine Brunello, was 25-1, seemed unfancied.
Yeah.
In France, he actually got beat by the Skelton horse in the same race. I can't think of his name now.
Yeah.
Prot, he finished fifth. Protectorat,
yeah,
who was very weak in the market and disappointed into fifth. I think... I'm not sure if Fine Brunello is that good a horse. I don't think I'd... Maybe, you know, Ajali's probably had a bit of an off day. He didn't really travel as well as he did at Chepstow. So, yeah, I think it's ordinary form. But then again, this horse has won it by 13 lengths.
Yeah, true.
And, you know...
Yeah, we'd be foolish not to price it up
and it's as, a year, yeah,
as favourite or joint favourite.
And it's a year where there's not a standout juvenile so far, apart from, you know, Sir Eric potentially has got the wow factor, but... You know, I take it he'll run at Leopardstown next weekend. Obviously, only ran the once over hurdle so far when winning his maiden at Leopardstown. There's a lot of questions still to be answered before now in the Triumph. There's no standout juvenile, so therefore, basically, he does earn his right to the to the head of the market, even though you can't pick holes in today's performance.
As I mentioned, the Cleve hurdle will be discussed
in the form, not the performance. Performance was excellent, but in the form.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
The Cleve hurdle will be mentioned on tomorrow's podcast and probably Monday's as well. I think I'm hosting Monday's and we'll be discussing the Monday jury and more. As for Sunday's racing, we've got Fontwell and Sedgefield domestically. Sedgefield, the high five meeting, and they are racing. Where are they racing over in Ireland? I've completely
lost track.
It is nice.
And
isn't
it's
it?
Very good.
It is very good.
There's a novice chase there that wouldn't look out of place at Leopardstown next week. Chris's Dream will probably be favourite. That horse jumped like an absolute natural on its debut. Be intriguing to see how he goes. He's potentially Cheltenham class without question.
I'm glad I asked you though, because off the top of my head there, I'd completely drawn a blank.
Yeah, Nace tomorrow is better than Fairhouse today. It's a really good card.
True. We're going to focus on two at Fontwell though.
And
we're going
to
start with the 230, which is a handicap chase. What do you fancy here?
I like Chivers, the Gary Moore horse. He actually hammered one of his rivals out on his last visit to Fontwell, Sky Full of Stars. That was on Boxing Day. The runner-up has since come out and won since. He does reoppose on Sunday, but I think Chivers will confirm the form. He has since got beaten at Lingfield, but off his revised mark. He did go up, £11 for that. He won so well at Fontwell last time that the handicapper had every right to punish him with an £11 penalty. But that didn't stop him at Lingfield. It was the way the race panned out. He travelled a bit too well for his own good. Was, I think, six lengths clear at one point. He was committed a long way out. Too far out on reflection, and he got collared late on. He's definitely better than that form. I've got no doubt that he can cope with his revised mark, and under a more conservative ride on Sunday, back at Fontwell, I think he'll take a lot of beating.
You can slip the field at Fontwell as well, can't you?
Yeah, you can.
It's so turning. All you need is just nick half length going into a turn, and it turns into four lengths off the back of it.
Absolutely. It's harder to do at Lingfield.
Yes.
But even I just think he was given too positive a ride at Lingfield, and... you know, over a trip of 2.5 as well, you know, he's back to the distance he won over, which is 2-2, that's also a bonus.
Yeah.
I just think he's still well handicapped, this horse, and definitely got the capabilities of going in again.
That's Chivers in the 2.30, and the other race that we're going to discuss a little later on is the 3.30, which is another handicap chase, this one over the extended 2-mile, 5-furlong trip. It's not a bad little contest, this.
Well, it's competitive. It's, yes, it's pretty moderate grade. Obviously, it's a 0 to 100. And I'm going to take a chance here. I mean, it's harder to make a case for this horse than Chivers, but Sartorial Elegance could be interesting here for the Colin Tizard yard.
Sounds silly because it is the top weight, but it is the classiest horse in the race.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's not run in a he's not run in a class 5 since his bumper days. Mm. This is a significant drop in class for this horse. It is for a reason, because he's lost his form. But he's the kind of horse who can bounce back from nothing. I mean, he's run it. He's shown the odd flash of form this season. He was only beaten 3 lengths at Exeter in November. So it's not as though he's completely lost the plot. Mm. He actually ran well for a long way. Utoxeter last time. Beaten 25 lengths in the end, but that was in a tongue tie and blinkers, which are left off on Sunday. I just think this horse, if he's on a going day, he's got the ability just to outclass these. And he's on a very dangerous mark. Yes, he comes with risks, but hopefully he's going to be, you know, priced accordingly. I just think he's interesting, and he's a horse as well that won't mind the better ground. Mm. So I just think there's a few positives here, and it wouldn't surprise me if he returns to form. And if he does, then obviously he's the best horse in the race.
He sticks out like a sore thumb, though.
Yeah,
profile wise, granted, the form is the only thing that's lacking recently.
Well, yeah, this horse is running off a mark of 102. You know, yeah, running a 0-100 here. Go back 2 years ago, he was rated in the high 120s.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, there's a reason why his mark has dropped. But like I said, it's not as though he's a complete lost cause.
No.
And I think he could be, he might just stamp his class on this race.
Okay. So Chivers in the 2.30 and Sartorial Elegance in the 3.30 at Fontwell for Ali tomorrow. You can hear Ali alongside Gordon and John from 1 o'clock tomorrow on William Hill's Racing Radio.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.